The Gospel and Disney. Pocahontas. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. This fall, we're using some of these Disney's animated classics to help us understand the human condition that we all share together. Then we're hearing the biblical truths of the gospel that are God's answer and response to our human condition. This time our Disney story is based on a real life story, a real people. Of course, Disney took liberal licenses here, but Pocahontas was a person who really lived. She was born in 1596. Her mother had died, and so she sought out a spiritual mother. In Disney, this is represented by a tree, a talking tree, called Grandmother Willow. Pocahontas saw her first white man in 1607 at the age of 11. That's when she met John Smith from England. Now, in real life, she only lived to the age of 22. But in those 11 years of relationships with a white man, she had a huge impact. Now, we don't see it until the Disney sequel for Pocahontas. But in real life, she did go to England. She got married, and she became a Christian. This is the painting of her baptism that hangs in our nation's capital. A very influential life, although tragically very short. Now, one of her greatest legacies was helping people confront their fears. She lived a life of pulling fear back and looking directly at what seemed to be so scary and seeing beauty there. She taught us all that what may initially cause our reaction of fear, when it's embraced and trusted and given the benefit of the doubt, can become the beginning of an amazing blessing. And this is where the biblical principle comes into play. I invite you to take out your GPS guides that are in your bulletin inserts, the Pray Study Guides. We're borrowing these from the Church of the Resurrection. But on there is a space for you to write down some of your takeaways and some of the reflections for you to use during the week ahead. Now, the movie starts with Pocahontas struggling with a major crossroads in her life. Her father, you see, wants her to marry a fine warrior. He is so stern and serious. All work. She, however, wants adventure and trying new things. He's set in his ways. She just can't imagine a life with this kind of a guy. So dull and stale. So she needs to make a decision. Obey her father, follow her heart.
That's why rivers live so long. They're steady as the steady beating drum.
You must wear this for our wedding. It was her dream to see you wear it at your own. It suits you.
He wants me to be steady.
Thank you.
course, steady as the beating drum. Should I marry Kokoan? Is all my dreaming at an end?
Pocahontas has to decide, choose safe and steady, or choose something unknown, new, exciting, just around the river bend. Well, the song kind of sets it up with a one-direction answer. But it's not an easy decision. And it's not always right, either. For at different times, each answer can be right. That's why it's so hard. We all have crossroads in our lives. Some are small and everyday, what to wear, what to eat for breakfast, you know. Some hold more weight, like, am I going to confront that person who hurt me? Or am I going to go to that friend's concert and skip my kid's thing? Others are more life impacting. Should I switch jobs or buy that car or that home? Some carry so much weight that they can be paralyzing. What should I choose for my career path? Should I marry him? Should I get a divorce? Should I move away? What should I take for treatment for my life-threatening illness? We're all at crossroads, all the time. How do we know what is right and good? Pocahontas seeks out Grandmother Willow, who tells her to follow her heart. Well, that's right some of the time. But some of the time, I can't trust my heart. Sometimes I have to conform my heart to something other than what it wants. We Christians have a compass. We have a way to discern. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. We're to ask what the tried and tested way is. We're to ask where the good way is. Not the easiest, not the one I want the most, but the good way. We ask God to show us, to help us discern, to show us this good way. We can go to Scripture, this ancient way. It doesn't give the answers to all of our decisions, but it does point to the values and the frames that will help guide each decision we need to make. We can go ask wise Christians who have made so many of these choices before in their own lives. That's why in my confirmation class, I ask for mentors to walk alongside of the youth. They need to hear the stories of the mentors having discovered what it means to live a life as Christian. Who are your mentors? We can ask God directly through prayer, praying about it. But don't just ask God, what should I do? Ask a different question. Ask the question that God's more interested in. And that is, ask the question of what is good. Of what is good. We have to make important decisions. Use all of these. And over a period of time. You see, we need time to listen. We need time to allow God to sway our hearts. And we keep asking our God. And then if we do, we will get a feeling, a sense, deep within our souls. It'll be a pulling, a weight, a sense of what is right and good. And then, venture out in that direction. Take some initial steps, some small steps, heading that way. But keep asking. We experience a sense of rightness and peace the more we step into the right way. This is God's leading. No, it rarely comes in the form of an email or a road sign. But if you keep listening, we will have a peace about it. That's the confirmation of God's Spirit to your spirit. This is the good path. This is the path we are meant to take. Even when maybe on the outside, things are crazy and going all kinds of unsteady. On the inside, there will be a steadiness that comes. Sometimes it takes patience. Sometimes it takes tenacity. But the right way will open up. And God will help you live into it, even if it's not the easiest way. And take some confidence here. When we have a God like we've got, there's no bad way. You see, our God promises to carry us through whatever we go into and to bring good out of it. So there's no mistake that you can make that God can't get you out of. He promises to bring good out of everything. So don't be afraid. God will be with you. Today, if you're making a sizable decision in your life, if you're in that discernment time, I want you to ask for prayer. We have a place of over here and by the praying hands, where after worship, there will be members of the prayer team come sitting here ready to pray with you about the issue that you're discerning through. They will pray with you, asking God to bring to you a clarity. And everyone, here's your assignment this week. One of them, of course. Those three. Ask someone else during this week to intentionally pray for you for discernment in a fork in your road. A decision you have to make. We need to learn to depend on other people's support and prayer as we journey through these things. We're not alone. So, you have to ask somebody this week to pray for you about an issue you're discerning through. Do you hear that? You can't be alone Christians. You can, but it's hard. Okay? And remember, there's nothing God can't get you out of. Well, Coco Worm is not the man of her dreams, evidently from the way this movie shapes. And her dreams are so much bigger. She wants to embrace something new. At that very moment, that dream was sailing in the bay. The Disney movie is about two worlds colliding. One is the original American culture of Pocahontas. The other is the European culture invading from the outside. And they discover a pristine new world. So much beauty that they really can't see. And they're looking for a beauty that comes in the form of gold. And the Native Americans can see the settlers are looking for just gold. Or as a threat. As a threat for just gold. Or as a potential new friends. So these two worlds are colliding. And as these two worlds collide, both sides struggle with fear. The fear of the unknown. Fear of the different. Fear of change. Fear of the worst in each other. John Smith and Pocahontas meet. And they begin to talk. John stumbles for his words, revealing that he has a deep-seated bias, a belief that his way is the only way that's right. He cannot see things any other way, at least at first. Seeing things differently, however, is one of the gifts that Pocahontas gives.
Miko.
Well, how do you do, Miko? It's all right. It's just an engine. Here, Leash.
Nothing's happening.
No, I need your hand first. Shall we say hello?
This is how it is. Wingardium.
Wingardium.
And how we say goodbye? Anna.
I like hello better.
Strangers.
Well, I'm not a stranger anymore. Starting to follow me.
Very stubborn.
Hey!
Miko, come back here!
Don't worry, you got it. Hey! What are you doing? That's all right. Keep calling him.
What was that?
My compass.
Compass?
It does gotta find your way if you get lost. But it's all right, I'll get another one in London.
London? Is that your village?
Yes. It's very big.
What's it like?
Well, it's got streets, carriages, bridges over the hills, and buildings as tall as trees.
I'd like to see those things.
You will.
How?
We're going to build them here. We'll show your people how to use this land properly. How to make the most of it.
Make the most of it?
Yes. We'll build roads, decent houses.
Our houses are fine.
You think that? It's only because you don't know any better. Wait, don't hang it. Hey, wait. There's so much we can teach you. We've improved the lives of savages all over.
Savages?
Not that you're a savage.
Just my people.
Listen, that's not what I meant. Let me explain.
Let go.
No, I'm not letting you leave. Look, don't do this. Savage is just a word. You know, a term for it. People who are uncivilized.
Like me.
Well, when I say uncivilized, what I mean is...
What you mean is, not like you.
What you mean by savage, then, is... I'm not like you. We do that. We label people not like us. We meet someone who is so different, and we immediately label them. Not that we have a really good reason for it, for we don't really even know them yet. What we need to do is allow ourselves to see them for who they really are, and to make up our minds about them only then, not based on appearances, but on character. Now, this movie tackles this issue through the issue of race. And racism is a very important fear we must identify within ourselves. I kind of pride myself in being fairly non-racist. I've done my fair share of traveling, and I've met a lot of people not like me. But if I'm honest, I have to admit that there are times when I catch myself being hyper-vigilant or at dis-ease when I notice someone of a different color. Some people may even immediately jump to less than favorable conclusions without ever getting to know that particular person personally. Something I have to notice in myself and catch myself doing it and then coach myself to reframe my thoughts and thought patterns. But it necessarily isn't only about skin color. We do this in so many other ways too. We cast judgments based on something observably different in the other without even knowing if it's true about them personally. And the Bible is all over this. It talks about a God who loves variety, a God who made things different, who made people different on purpose. About how, in value though, to God there is no difference between Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Now, in the movie, this is the movie clip that then introduces the song, Paint with All the Colors of the Wind. God made a great, big, crazy world with a plethora of variety. And it's only when we experience more and more of that that we can begin to break our tendencies to judge. When you talk with people who are not like you, you begin to discover things you never knew that you never knew. The fear of the different is disarmed by taking the time to get to know the other different, the other person, the other situation, personally. Hold out good things rather than withdrawing and running away. Expect good things in return. Overlook initial offenses. Pocahontas did this. In real life, John Smith's diaries say how she brought them food over and over again and taught them that the real gold of America was corn. And above all this, Jesus tells this amazing parable of separating sheep from goats. And the sheep ask, "When did we see and help you? I don't remember seeing you at all." And the king replies, "Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." So be careful. The person you judge, the least of these, is actually Jesus. Homework. This week, make a point to extend God's love to someone new to you. Make friends with a stranger around you who's maybe been there all along. Reach out to someone that you don't know. Reach out to in a caring way. Church, assignment number two. Reach out to someone not like you. Well, in the movie, both sides think the worst of each other, and the two cultures that are in conflict head towards a huge war. And John Smith and Pocahontas are caught in the middle of it. I was thinking of Romeo and Juliet through all of this. But they can't do anything to stop it. So Romeo and Juliet, they give up and commit suicide. Right? I'm sorry, I just spoiled all you for in 8th grade English. No, not that maybe you could understand Shakespeare anymore, but in this movie, though, John Smith and Pocahontas reach out to Grandmother Willow and say, "What can we do? We can't stop this. It's happening." In the movie, Grandmother Willow tries to get them to see the power of one. Disney uses this to show the power of one. One person can make a difference. But how? How can we have that kind of courage, especially when facing such huge enemies? As Christians, we have this kind of power living within each of us. The Holy Spirit is given to us and lives inside each of us to guide us into the good path, but also then to embolden us to actually live it out. Isaiah 43. Over and over again it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." See, God can form and transform you. Who is your grandmother Willow? The person who speaks life to you, who helps you see things, people, differently. Who is your godly mentor? You need one. Get one if you don't have one. Love your enemy. This is God's continual teaching. This can change you. This can change our world. Replace hate with love. Grandmother Rule tells them that the right thing is not always the easy thing. Ah, back to the riverbed. Take the easy or the right path. This takes courage. This takes God's help. This takes love. The right thing is not necessarily easy. Is a biblical principle. Pocahontas lived out the golden rule. John Smith took a bullet. Jesus says in Matthew 5, love your enemy. When we live in the power of the Holy Spirit within us, God can use us to make a difference. Assignment for this week. Here's your third one. Love your enemy. Pray for 7 days in a row. for someone you are tempted to label as an enemy. Pray for them. Don't pray for bad things upon them. Pray for their blessing and for God to prosper them and for God to help you to love them. Now, unlike the two movies we just watched the past couple of weeks, this one doesn't end in the usual way. The boy and the girl don't get married or live happily ever after. Actually, it allows room for the things that really happened in the true story. The wounded John Smith is taken back to England and treated. And that's how it ends. Him sailing away. If you ask me, that's an intentional setup for a sequel. But as we end today, let's go back to the gospel responses to the human condition that we see in this movie. One, we all face forks in the road. When we do, actively listen for God's voice guiding the way. Two, when you see someone who is different than you, extend your hand. Build a personal relationship. This is what God did. He came in Jesus and made a personal connection. It will change you, probably change them, and certainly change our world. And three, don't be afraid to love your enemies. Extend yourselves to them. Love your neighbors, those like us, yes, but also love those who are not like us. Love like Jesus. Jesus modeled this for us. All of this. He taught it to us. He taught us to pray for it. These gospel truths are all in the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray. Jesus gave his followers the way and the power to change God's world in God's name. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for this new reality. We are praying against fear and praying in boldness for a new world to come. As Jesus' followers, we pray it. As people filled by the Holy Spirit, we live into it. Will you, as God's people, pray for this new world with me? Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.